Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Well, it's an honor to stand here. Pastor Daniel asked me to do this. I love that our pastor. He knows I do, and I've told him several times what a privilege it is to sit under his ministry. He's a powerful, powerful preacher, and he gets the word across to you. I told him, I said, I've sat under a lot of men. I started preaching when I was 19 years old, and I'm 87 now, and still standing up here praising the Lord. And I've heard a lot of men, but I'll tell you, Pastor Daniel's right at the top, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not saying it because he's not here. He knows I've said it right to his face several times, and I mean it sincerely. He keeps my attention, I can tell you that, and praise God. Well, tonight, I feel like as the Lord gave me this word to share with you, and by his help, Holy Spirit, we call upon you right now to help us. We can't do anything without your help. We depend totally upon it. You've never failed, and you won't tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a burden for people that are lost. And if I were to give a title to this, it would be this: They're Coming Home. This word tonight is for parents, for grandparents that have wayward children. I'm going to tell you something. If you taught them, they're coming home. They're coming home. I had one brother, 2 years and 8 months younger than me, raised by the same mother, the same dad, the same church. And church wasn't an option when I was growing up. It was Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. You went to church, whether you liked it or not, you went. I feel like I heard Pastor Hagee one time say, he said, I grew up on drugs. I was drugged to church on Sunday. I was drugged to church on Wednesday. I was drugged to church. Every time the door was open, I was drugged to church. That's how I felt. And so all my life, my mother was a Christian. And oh glory to God. Whew, hallelujah. I tell you, there's anointing in this place tonight. There is an anointing in this place tonight. Hallelujah. And as I was opening my heart to this, this was the word the Lord gave me. You tell the people, be encouraged, it's harvest time and they're coming home. Get ready. Get ready. We're going to see a revival. I'm one of those preachers. I don't preach doom and gloom. I preach victory because Jesus said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Things are going to happen. And I believe that's the day that we're living in right now. We're going to see people come back to the Lord like we've never seen in history. I believe it, and I'm standing for it, and I'm expecting it. Hallelujah. In the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, beginning at verse 11, down through verse 32, you can turn there and follow, because I'm just going to point out some things, and most of you already know what it's about, the prodigal son. I love this story. I love this story. And I'm going to tell you why I love this story. As I told you, I had one brother. Well, my brother decided that he didn't like things that were going on. He lived in Colorado, so he would try to work a thing with the law. And they had a little deal going in those days, this was way back in the 50s. And if you ran a hamburger stand, you'd make a deal with the police, leave it open, and they'd rob it. And it was a big scandal. Well, he got scared at the last minute, and so he didn't do what they said. Then he was afraid they was going to get him. And so in order to escape, he stole an airplane. Got in it, and he flew it up into Wyoming from Colorado. He landed it. Now, to my knowledge, he hadn't had any instructions. I don't know how he did all this. He gassed it up, took off again. The second time they landed, they didn't put the gear down, so just landed, bellied it in. I saw the airplane when they brought it back. They walked out to the highway and hitchhiking into town. And who picked him up? But an FAA inspector. Said, what are you boys doing? He had a couple guys with him. He said, well, you stole that airplane out there. They drove right to the police department. And the next thing you know, he's in federal penitentiary in El Reno, Oklahoma. Now, that's my brother. And I'm up here, I'm in Point Hope at that time, or Barrel, preaching. Now my brother's in prison. Well, the long and the short of it, he served his time, got out, and he wasn't out 1 year till he was killed in a trucking accident in Oregon. And it broke my heart. But you know what the Lord told me? He said he was at the peak, he had repented, and I need to bring him home. I'm telling you something, folks, they're coming home. You get ready. Whoever you're praying for, your sons or your daughters, grandkids, they are coming home. You can rest assured, get ready to rejoice, just like the prodigal son. Amen. In the 17th verse, this is not, now you know, you've read this, but just real quickly, you know, he went to his dad, he said, I want my share of the estate. I'm going to leave home. I'm sick and tired of your rules and regulations. Now, this is probably what he said. I'm sick and tired of your rules and regulations. I'm going to do my thing. Some of us have been there before. Hello? Some of you have, you know, you understand that, you know. Everybody gets to the place that mom and dad don't know enough. Yeah. Yeah. All of a sudden, they move from being smart to dumb. Hello? Come on now. Now, you don't have to admit it, and I don't care if you say amen or not, but I know it's a fact. I've been dealing with people for over 60 years in pastoring, and I can tell you this, I've seen them over and over and over. I've counseled and counseled and counseled, but let me tell you, they're always right, so don't believe that old story, the lie of the devil. Anyway, here we go. So he said, I want my money, I'm going to leave town, I'm going to leave home. So he did. But time came, and he ran out of money. You know, when you're young, you don't count on that. You think you got an endless pot of money. He ran out of money. So he ended up, as you know, taking care of pigs. Now that, you know, that's about the lowest thing I can think of. I grew up on a farm. And man, I hated it when Dad said, clean the pig pen or clean the cow pen, because it was the after remains of stuff that you had to get rid of. It wasn't nice stuff. It was bad stuff. But in that condition, he came to his senses. He came to his senses. He woke up. Do you know something? Now, I want you to listen to this. When you start praying for your sons or your daughters or your grandchildren, leave it alone when God starts dealing with them. You can't fix it. And he knows the way to get to them. Yeah, he knows exactly what to say, when to say it, and how to do it. Hello? But, you know, most of us are fixers. I'm a fixer. Boy, it's, you know, if you see one of the kids are going through a trouble, you want to fix it. You want to help them. But did you ever stop to think that maybe that's where they have to get to come to their senses and to wake up so they'll come home? That's a tough road. It takes tough roads. It took my brother prison. Yeah. Can you imagine 21 years old in a federal penitentiary, still hadn't learned, and the guard says to him, Larry, I want you to do this. I want you to pick up that mop, mop that floor. He was still too much of a smart aleck, so he said to the guard, well, I don't know exactly what he said, but it wasn't very good. His own testimony to me, he said, Dwayne, 60 days later, I knocked on the door from the hole and said, I will be glad to mop that floor if you'll just let me out of here. God knows some of us have to go way down to the pig pen before we wake up a little bit. But God's dealing, come on now, they're going to come back. In that condition, he began to realize what he left behind. And he said, wow, I'm going home. The servants have a better life than I've got now. I'm going home. And I'm going to tell Dad, please forgive me. I've sinned. And you know what's happening in the pig pen? He began to be converted. He began to come back. He began to retrace his steps. Hallelujah. He began to repent what he began to do. Amen. You know, as I thought about this, I thought about David up on the mountain overlooking and watching that lady bathe in the middle of the night. But you know what? God sent his friend. Nathan was his friend. And he came to him and he said, David, after all the discussion, you're the one that's in trouble. Thank God for friends, amen? People that care enough for us, pastors and people that care enough for us, they'll put their arm around us and say, I want to pray for you, man. I want to lift you up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So in that condition, in verse 18, he began to confess. He began to repent. And he said, I'm going home. Now, verse 20 is one of my favorite of the whole story. It says that as he's headed home, somebody's watching for him. I can see it now. Every day, now I don't know that it worked like this, but this is how in my mind it works. Every day, his dad would go out there and sit on a bench. He's coming home. My son's coming back. And I'm going to be here to greet him. Hallelujah. And he kept watching. And one day he looked and he said, I can tell by his walk. Yeah. Yeah. I recognize that walk. Yeah. I know it's him. There he comes. And when he got close enough, he ran to greet him. And instantly, the prodigal son began to pour his heart out. He began to confess. But you know what I like about that verse? His dad never paid a bit of attention to him. He didn't hear what he was saying. He said, hey, hurry, go get that robe, go get that ring. We're going to put shoes on him. We're going to have a party because my son was gone and he's come back. Hallelujah. Just like he said he would. He's here. Hallelujah. Woo! Boy, I would be jumping up and down too. Amen. I remember very distinctly when my son come home from Korea. I remember when he went to Korea. I drove him from Los Angeles to Oakland, dropped him off. He's headed for Korea in the Army, and it's 400 miles about back home. I cried all the way home. And then one day he came back from Korea, and he was a mess. And the things he told me that happened, it was a mess. But he was home. And one night, he said, "Dad, I need you to pray for me." And I went in his room, and I stood over him, Brother Kirsten, and I had to hold him down because the demon spirits were so strong. And I wrestled him all the way to the floor and held him in the corner, praying, "In Jesus' name, be set free, son, be set free." And he was set free. He came home. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something, they're coming home. They're coming home. If I want you to get this, they're coming home, folks. They're coming home. Get ready for them. They're coming home. They may not be very far away, but they're coming home just the same. Now, here's the part that I want to drive home to you tonight. It's problem time. It's problem time. We're going to deal with this part. The elder brother. My. In verse 28, you read all about the elder brother. He threw a fit. He got upset. His brother come home and they're having a party. You know what was wrong with him? He was jealous. Very jealous. He wasn't getting any attention. And he began to remind his dad of everything he'd done. "I've been right with you and all this." And he said, "You've never..." And here's my question for you tonight. How are you going to welcome them when they come home? If there's one thing that our country needs to be ashamed of, is the way we treated the Vietnam vets when they came home. Are you listening to me? I'm a vet. My time goes way back to the Korean time. But I'm going to tell you something. We didn't treat the Vietnam vets like we did the Korean vets. And you know something I've learned in the church? Sometimes we don't treat those that come back like they should be treated. Now, the reason I can talk about this, being full of jealousy and justification, I have a little confession to make. Dr. David, you brought this out the other night, or the last time when you spoke, and I won't forget it. You see, in my heart, I used to have a real problem when people like Pastor Daniel and others would get up and tell about how terrible they had been, you know, on drugs and drunk and on. And I was like you, Dr. David. I grew up in a Christian home. I've never been drunk in my life. Have I drank? Yeah, but I've never been drunk. I never saw my dad drunk. I don't know if he even drank it. And so people would get up and give me, and here I am working in the prison and working with these guys and dealing with it. I mean, over the years and dealing with the different people that come and go at the church and one thing. And I'm thinking, I almost got jealous in my heart now. Yeah. And I didn't tell anybody about this because I was ashamed. But I almost got to the place that I felt, I've been cheated. I don't have one of those roaring, glorying testimonies. And it really bugged me. But I kept it inside. Until one day I finally went to the Lord with it. And he told me this. He said, "What about your heritage? What about your heritage?" I had a spirit-filled born again, tongue talking mother that gave birth to me. I had a spirit filled, tongue talking grandmother who was the midwife. And when I was born, I had a grandmother that immediately began to pray, Lord, give me a preacher in my family. My mother told me all my life I ever did was talk about being a preacher. I turned out to be the first preacher in the family. A heritage, second to none. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit said, why don't you wake up? You've got something to praise the Lord for. You've got something to be glad of. Hallelujah. You've got something to rejoice in. So you can start being glad. And I confessed and asked him to forgive me and to begin to be more joyful and more thankful and to revolutionize my life. Hallelujah. It changed me. It turned me around. Hallelujah. And I'm so grateful for the heritage that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been set free. Hallelujah. How are you going to receive them when they come back? Now, here's the way some of them are going to get received. And I'm going to name a couple of ways, but we're going to close it off with something more positive. You know, sometimes we put them on probation. You better not ever do that again. How many of us as parents, when we corrected the kids and tell them, give them a little paddling, you say, you better not ever do that again. You know something? That's the way sometimes those that come back are received. Hallelujah. We want to remind them continuously. You know what? When they come back, and they've repented. You know what the Bible says? Everything is put in a sea of forgetfulness. It's never to be remembered. God forgets it. He don't even know anything about it. It's all over with. And we just need to leave it alone there also. Amen? Hallelujah. So we don't receive them with probation. Secondly, don't receive them with a big lecture. Did you know what you did? Did you know how much money you cost me? Do you know what? That's what the older brother was saying. He wasted everything of your. He said, Dad, don't you realize he took everything you had, all his part, and he blew it. Oh, man. Lectures are tough to receive. They already know they've screwed up. They already know they messed up. You don't need to remind them 100 times over. After all, they're living in the past. They've already come through that past life, and now they're wanting something new. The Bible says, behold, the old is gone, and I'm a new creation now. Hallelujah. I'm brand new. Hallelujah. Something happened to me. Something happened to them. That's why they're here. They came to their senses. They confessed. And now they're back home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if we're like I was, you got to deal with the jealousy part too. Now that becomes a personal thing that you have to deal with. Hello. And then finally, don't receive them with doubt. Are you really sure you'll never do that again? Now, are you really, is what you said, do you really mean what you said? Are you just saying, so I'll receive you back? You know what? I don't care how they get back, as long as they get back. Amen. I know as a pastor, somebody used to say to me, I've had people say to me, I don't want to go to that church because that's where the hypocrites go. I said, bring them on. I love it when they come because I'll preach to them. Hallelujah. I'll tell them about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I welcome into the hypocrites that come. Don't bother me at all. Praise God. Because we were in an ecumenical meeting in Barrow. about 7 pastors. And every year up there, we have a time, that Thanksgiving service, all the churches together do it. And then when it's time for the whaling season, they bless the crews. And one of the other pastors that in town was walking out with me. And I mean, at that time we had Baha'i, we had Presbyterian, we had Catholic, we had about everything you can think of, the Mormon people. And he said to me, he walked beside me, he said, "Dwayne, how can you go to these meetings with all these weird people?" I said, "Doesn't bother me at all." Because I said, you know, they're not going to change me, but I might rub off on them. Amen. I might have a little influence on them. Hallelujah. So I just kept going to them anyway. Hallelujah. And you know what? I found out that not only was I the pastor, I was a police chaplain up there. I got called all hours of the night to go pray for people that didn't even come to church, because they knew this guy would pray for you. I don't care who you are. Amen. Oh, glory. I don't know why I said that, but I did. Anyway. All right. Here's the way that we're to receive them. Just like Jesus does. Just like he did. And if you don't think he receives the bad guys, go visit the cross. He's got 2 dudes hanging up there with him that are bad, man. I mean, they're bad. And one of them is still bad even hanging there. But the other one finally said, "Why don't you be quiet? I don't know what all he said, but in my mind he said, why don't you shut up?" And then he says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he says, "This night you're going to be with me." That's the way you receive them. Just like he did. Full of love, man. One of my favorite scriptures is the one that Jesus talks about Judas Iscariot. You know what he said about him? Scripture says, he loved him to the end. Can you imagine, Pastor Kirsten, you're a pastor of a church, and you've got a church treasurer that's stealing. But you don't can him, but you know it, and you extend mercy to him over and over. Jesus did. You tell me Jesus didn't know what Judas was doing. He knew everything he was doing. And he said he loved him to the very end. He said to Peter, when Peter tried to interfere with God's plan for Jesus, he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Peter. Satan, get behind me." Why? Because he loved him. And then when he told him, he said, "You're going to deny me," he said, "But when you get back," see, he knows it all. That's the way we're going to receive them when they come. Just like that. We're going to love them, hallelujah. We're not going to remind them. We're just going to receive them because they're coming home. Hallelujah. That's part of the harvest that we're going to see. Pastor preaches on the harvest. That's part of the harvest. Amen. Those that are out there, we've got a lot of people that are on the fence that are just kind of watching and wondering what's going to take place. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When they start coming back, we're going to open our arms. Amen. That's what Kings is going to do. I know that's what Pastor's going to do. I know that's what I'm going to do. I know what that's what you want to do. We're going to open our arms and say, "Come on. Come on. Be a part of what God's doing. Because we love you, man. We're just so glad you're here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just want you to be a part of this." And then allow Jesus to heal them. Because you can't heal a soul. Hello? I spent several years in the beginning of my ministry because I was taught you either bribe people with heaven or scare the hell out of them. Now, they didn't say it like that, but that's what they taught us in school, Bible college. And so my first family, I had to repent and apologize. I had no time for them. Yeah, no time. Till they became teenagers and started asking for money, then I knew they were there. But I had to repent because you know what my job was? Save the world. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit finally got through to me. I opened the book and read it for myself. I can't save a soul. All I can do is share Jesus, and he does the saving. Amen? So, like the prodigal, when they come home, we're going to receive them in Jesus' name. You ask yourself, how are you going to receive them? That's very important. And you need to examine your heart, prepare yourself, because those that are bad, bad are coming back. And those that you think they don't deserve to be reconciled, don't make a bit of difference. They do, because Jesus died for them just like he died for you. Amen. And they deserve it just as much as you and I do. Hallelujah. And they're going to come back, and we're going to receive them, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to be excited because it's harvest time in America. It's harvest time around the world. The Jesus is preparing the church. He said, I'm coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. And he's beginning to clean it up and getting it straightened out. Hallelujah. And he's coming for that church, and this place is a part of that church. Can you say amen? Would you stand with me, please? Lord, I pray that the word that we have shared would in some place find place in our lives and produce fruit in Jesus' name. While your head's bowed, while you're thinking, a question for you. First of all, if you don't know Jesus, this is the time to do it right now, man. And also, I want to challenge you. Search your heart. And if there's be anything there that would be a stumbling block in any way for those that are coming home. And they're coming. Hallelujah. You know why? Because the word promises us. He promised them. They're coming home. And I pray if there's any stumbling blocks, Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that we'll examine our heart. If we don't know you, we haven't accepted you, oh Lord, this is the time to do it. And Lord, if there's a stumbling block of any kind that would be a hindrance that the enemy try to use to slow the process of recovery, I pray in Jesus' name it will be broken in Jesus' name. And every one of us will be honest before you and say, Lord, do the work in me that needs to be done. And I ask it in Jesus' name. I want to say one last thing, and I'm turning back to Pastor Kirsten. The other reason that I know they're coming home, I've learned something. You see, every one of them that are out there have been exposed to the word a little bit. And once you are exposed to the word, you've been had. Because you can't get rid of the word. You can't get rid of the word. Someone said not long ago, and I heard them here in some one of the meetings, you can leave God, but God don't leave you. His word, as it's come forth at one time or another, all you got to do is hear just a little bit of it, and the Holy Spirit zaps us real good. And you may not know it, but it's there. They're coming home because the word declares it. Pastor?
Amen. Come on, let's contend together. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Why don't you just begin to pray? Let's pray for our... How many of you have someone in your family and you're believing God for them to come home? Who's got them in your family? Even your extended family. Come on, even right now, just begin to call out their name. Father, I lift up my family members to you. Lord, there's so many. Lord, and I'm asking you that even right now, even as this word is declared, even as faith is being released in this house in the realm of salvation for our family, we call them back and we even say out loud, come home. We say unto the invisible, come home, come home. Lord, let there be an awakening. May they come to their senses, even as Pastor Duane was declaring of the prodigal son who was a long way from home. And yet he had a moment by which he had a revelation and a turnaround in his life. Regardless of how far away he was, there was a moment that he turned around and headed back. He had an awakening moment, a coming of his senses moment. God, bring that about in our family. Lord, bring it about in my brother, in my cousins, God, in my extended family. I call them home today, even as they might be sleeping right now. May they have a dream or a vision or something when they wake up. May they have an inclination to come home, a deep desire inside them to be made right with you, to be at peace with you, or to start all over, to be a new creation for the old to go and the new to come. Something stirring within them. Lord, my neighbors, Lord, I'm not related to them, but I call them back today. Come home. My whole neighborhood, all that live around my area, Lord, those that have drifted away, Lord, even those that have come through this house, maybe they came to a special event, an outreach. Maybe they came to a Christmas show or the tea, or they came to an event a long time ago at the Menard Center. We call them back today. Lord, there's thousands of them. Across this valley, across this state, there's thousands. Even right now, let there be a quickening inside them. Spirit of the living God, let the seed of your word germinate, producing fruit. Even as Pastor Duane was declaring the word of God coming alive in them, we call it to fruition today, tonight, in the name of Jesus. God, would you draw them back to you? Let this be the season and the year of a tremendous homecoming celebration here in this house. Lord, if not here, then in a house of worship. But as long as they come back to you, that's our great heart, our great desire. Let them come back to you in Jesus' name. We want it to be a year of celebrating homecomings all across Alaska, all across our family. In Jesus' name. You may need to get right with the Lord. You may need to receive Jesus, just as Pastor Duane was praying a few moments ago. Maybe there's a quickening inside you to be right with God. I'm going to take a moment to pray tonight. And if you need to receive Jesus, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. If you're online, right now is your moment. Don't leave this place without making Jesus your Lord, without maybe even yourself coming home. I'm going to invite you to pray with me, with head bowed across this room and with your attention on Jesus. Just have a private moment between you and the Lord and ask yourself, are you right with God? Or have you drifted? Do you need to come back to Him? Maybe you need to come to Him for the first time. I'm going to invite you to pray with me tonight. Why don't you pray right out loud? I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer and you pray with me. The Bible declares it's with your heart that you believe and your mouth that you confess. You have to believe what Jesus did for you, that He took your place, that He died in your place for your sin, and He rose from the dead to give you eternal life. You have to believe in your heart and turn away from sin. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Why don't you pray it out loud with me? Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, tonight I come home. I'm coming back to you. I receive in my life what Jesus did for me. I believe He took my place. He died on the cross so I could be forgiven. And He rose from the dead to give me eternal life. I repent of my sin and I come to you. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I'm going to serve you from this moment on. Thank you for loving me and letting me come back home. In Jesus' name. Come on, why don't you lift your hands across this place? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that even tonight there was men, women, folks online that have come back to you in their heart. They meant every word that they just prayed. And they've come back to you. The old is gone. The new has come. Regardless of how far away they were, they're coming back to you. They've received you. Lord, I pray you fill them with your power. Fill them with your spirit. I pray a newness of life, new thoughts, God, new downloads from heaven, hearing your voice in a clear way, a new walk with you. And I thank you, Lord, that you've brought them back to you. I bless them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Pastor Dwayne, thank you. Thank you for a powerful word.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.